Over the years, I've met quite a few grape growers. For some reason, they call their places wineries. I don't know why. Growing grapes, I thought, actually looked pretty simple. So just like, you know how I plant seeds, if you were with me last year, I'm one of those seed throwers. I decided I, too, can grow grapes, right? No. So I went back to one of my winery friends, and I said to them, well, tell me some secrets about growing grapes, trying to figure out what I did wrong. First thing they said is, make sure you put them in a sunny place. Well, mine were under the trees, so that's why they didn't work. Make sure you put them on a fence. I did get that one right. Then I said, you're not going to get any fruit for 3 years. I thought that was kind of interesting, because you know in the original days, when the Christians were first starting their movement, do you know how long it took before they would be baptized? How long were they in maybe apprenticeship, shall we say? 3 years. I thought, isn't that interesting? Ah. And each year, you get it cut back. Even when a grapevine is mature, you still have to prune it twice a year. Now, vines have two kind of branches. What kind of branches do you think they might have? Some that bear fruit, some that don't, right? I personally thought they were all the same kind. My pruning was not the best to be desired. Actually, I got to tell you the truth, I ended up with just this stump. So when you cut away, though, some of these branches, it actually strengthens the plant so that it can produce more fruit. So, you know, and they will never produce fruit if you don't prune them. And it's because unpruned grapes, vines, will eventually grow sour grapes. And I thought, I've known a few people like that before in my life. So with this knowledge, we're going to turn to today's lesson, because we got to put some perspective about this. You know, when I tell you, when you read the Bible before you're going to interpret it, you have to read the chapter before and the chapter after. And why would that be? Yeah, because you don't get the context. So Jesus is getting ready to leave, right? He's trying to assure his disciples that even though he's not physically here with them, that he is going to be with them spiritually, right? And he's always going to be the source of their lives. Now, what was one of the principal crops that they grew in Palestine at that time? So does it make sense that he would tell the story about growing grapes, right? And they would have gotten it, kind of lost on us, because that was the context for their day. So we have to see how it's the context for our day, right? He uses this vineyard experience to let them know that if they are rooted, that that he's rooted in God, the disciples are supposed to be rooted in him. Like the picture on the front, God's the trunk. We have the vine coming off of that, which is Jesus. We have the branches coming off with us. And you have the Holy Spirit, exactly very Trinity, coming through there. That coming through those vines is the fruit. It's not really us producing the fruit, is it? We are the vehicle to produce the fruit. And so often we think it's us. It's up to us to do everything. But it really isn't. It's up to us to be the type of branch that God can flow through to produce fruit in us and fruit in others. But the key to doing that then is what? You got to stay connected to God, right? And I have to tell you, staying connected to anybody, is it just me that has a hard time staying connected with friends and relatives? It seems like an oxymoron to me, right? Because I got my iPhone. So I've got the website I can look at. I can go to my Bible study online now. You can do Twitter, you can do email, you can do Facebook, right? People are lonelier than they've ever been in their lives. So if we can't even stay connected to the people we're here, how do we stay connected with God? In fact, if you're like me, sometimes you can go all day and you think, oh, guess what? I forgot to pray. And then you fall asleep, right? Thinking you're gonna do that. So building a relationship with God, it takes time and commitment. And most of us don't want to take the time that it does. Can you imagine having to study diligently for 3 years before they'd let you join the church? Before you'd be baptized? before you could be confirmed. We've gotten so far away from having expectations that people really come here to be nourished that we don't even do it anymore. It's not our expectation. Well, it used to not be our expectation, let's put it that way. But what happens, Jesus clearly tells us in this, is if you don't have that close connection, you dry up. Anybody here ever dry up? Ever felt like you're in the desert of your life? I can remember when I was working at the not-for-profit downtown, I was working with the homeless, and all these hundreds of phone calls a week of families, little kids coming, knocking on the door and coming, calling on the phone, applying. And here I was trying to not only run the organization, but raise all this money. I got to the point and I said, I can't do this anymore, right? I can't raise that much money more. I was literally dried out. The life was sucked out of me. Has that ever happened to any of you? Because we think it can't happen in a religious organization. We think it can't happen in that not-for-profit. But guess what? It can happen anywhere. Because I got to the point that I thought it was all me that had to do this. The whole organization was going to go under if I didn't take care of it. Why would I have dried out? What do you think had happened to my connection to God? You see, because if I had remembered that it wasn't up to me, but I was that branch through which all the goodness of God was flowing, I don't think I would have dried up. I don't think I would have burned up out. But see, I didn't look to God to do that for me. Maybe you've had that experience where you feel that whole weight is on you and that no matter what you do, it's not getting any better. See, I think that's what today's lesson is all about, right? We all want to go out there and do that. We all want to have a purpose, right? We all want to make a difference in this life, but we do all these things by ourselves, and then we think, I don't think my life really has a purpose. What is my purpose, right? That's probably the number one question people ask me. I can't find my purpose. But we do have a purpose because discipleship is what gives us our purpose. And if we're not growing as a disciple, if we're not growing in our connection, we lose what it, we lose that purpose and we start to flounder, you know? So when we start to think it, most of the time we think about purpose, I think we think, okay, Jesus, show me what my purpose is, right? And then Jesus says, okay, but I got to tell you, I got to do some pruning first. And I think, ooh, that sounds a little bit painful. I don't know about you. I don't have an aversion to pain, but I try to skip it every chance I can, right? You know, I can remember watching my grandfather, who loved to grow plants and grapes, and he would go throughout the garden, and he would nip off the top of flowers. You've probably seen people do that before. Take them off, because why would they do that? It'll reflower, won't it? If you do that, it grows back. And he would go to the grapevines, he'd take those shears, and he would lovingly, lovingly clip off the dead ends so that he could strengthen that plant, you know? He always did it to help the plant survive. Always did it to help that plant be nourished. And that's what God does when we have obstacles in our life. God starts pruning away, shall we say, those obstacles that keep us from growing in grace. He starts pruning away, you know, things like worry. Not that any of you ever worry about anything, right? I keep hearing that thing that says, do not worry about tomorrow. I'll say, I'm so worried about today, you know? And then it gets all right, and I think, why did I do that, right? He takes away addictions, violence, you know, he trims away our self-centeredness. And I don't know about you, but I'm very self-centered. I have to willingly admit that, and every day I have to tell myself, just pay attention to how many times you want what you want. How often during the day are you saying, God, what do you want of me? And I'm thinking, not very often. So that needs to be trimmed a little bit more too. But when God does this, he trims away this is, we talked about in the children's moments, what do you think flows through that vine out of us? It's those fruits of the Spirit, isn't it? We're at peace. We can bring peace to other people, you know? We can have joy. We can have feel whole. We can do most anything that God, people can see God in us if we keep that connection going, you know? I figured out that the real formula to having an abundant life is this. Holiness equals joy and happiness by maintaining that close, deep relationship. And that the degree of happiness and joy in a person's life is directly related to how holy they are. By holy meaning, moving holistically towards emotional, physical, spiritual, mental health. That's the meaning of holy. Holy means healing. How are you healing in your life today? Joy, happiness, holiness. I've met a person that invited Jesus into their life and is doing the things as a disciple to grow that doesn't have joy and doesn't have commitment. Have you? It kind of just oozes out, doesn't it? And if a person isn't happy and whole and feels secure in Christ, guess what? Then they probably aren't growing in what? Holiness. Growing in holiness takes effort on our part. It means spending time in the Scripture. It means spending time doing good works. It means we're in prayer. It means that we see God as the direction of our life, that God is the focus of our life, not ourselves. Do we forget that? Of course we forget that. We're human, right? And that doesn't mean if we're growing in holiness that bad things won't happen to us. I'll guarantee you, bad things will happen in your life sometimes. But you know what? You have a totally different way of looking at those bad things in your life than you do if you're not growing in holiness. So the scriptures today tell us, abide in Jesus, and Jesus will abide in you. And just like Jesus, he didn't tell us. How does that happen? You know, he doesn't describe it. He leaves it up to each one of us to figure out, because you know what? Each one of us grows spiritually in a very different manner. And God will lead us in whatever that manner would be. However, abiding with Jesus is at the heart of a relationship with Jesus. When we push God away, we wither. We dry out on the vine. When we draw closer to God, we thrive in our lives. There's always going to be pruning. And guess what? There will be dry spells in our life when we wonder if God's far away. But the gardener is there pruning us and preparing us for something even better. So today is the first day of your life. If you want to be happier, if you want to get closer to Jesus, become holier. Your lives cannot bear fruit if you don't have a connection to Jesus. So the question is, are you ready for the pruning shears?